Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? We started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with the relationship clinic being open. We had our Bishop John and our lady Sharonda Williams with their conversation responding to life. Yes, we talked about, you know, how people respond to, you know, normal everyday things that, you know, you do or you may get into when you're first getting married. Well, how about that Monday? Yes. You know, sometimes you're so busy as a newlywed that you just continue to spend money the way you used to. Yes. That newlywed hasn't kicked in yet. Yeah, isn't it funny? You spend time as a newlywed, but yet your mind is not a newlywed. And you spend money like you're not spending for, you know, for people, but you're spending for one. Yes, the Williams said that, you know, they had gotten into their proper spending habits. So to make that adjustment, it wasn't hard at all. Well, how about their schedules, their new schedules that they had to, you know, get accustomed to, you know, responding to the new time management. Yeah, well, they said that transition, you know, was kind of smooth, you know, going from being a one-person entity to being a team, yes. And then when the children came along, yeah, you know, they just made the proper transition as always. Okay? What about that housework? Well, Bishop said that, you know, most times he does the cooking and the kids like the cooking. And when Lady Sharonda does the cooking, they get what? Nuggets and fries and boy, they were funny. They surely were. But they did talk about sharing the housework and, you know, just responding to, you know, everybody's schedules and just kind of laying it out, you know, which can be a really big issue. Well, we did talk about that that annoying thing or things that could be annoying. You know, Lady Sharonda came right on out the box talking about which side the toilet paper should be on. Should it be over or should it be under? Yes. Go back and listen. That is what she came out of the box talking about. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. I believe she likes it under, and Bishop likes it over, and how they just flip it. Yeah, they just turn the toilet paper back and forth. There's no discussion. And they were a real testament, you know, as to how you respond to life, you know, going from single, you know, a single hood, if you will, to being married and being partners and having, you know, somebody always there. And, you know, the key thing that they talked about was being friends. So when you're friends, you know, before you get married, pretty much there's no huge transition because you already know what you're getting. Isn't that something? Pastor Steph always talks about going, you know, into that friendship mode, or from that friendship mode, I should say. So we really enjoyed the relationship clinic being open this week. And we thank them so much for all of the gems that they left behind. Yes. Well, our switch tip was stop scamming. Now, again, the switch tip always seems to kind of fall right in line with what we were talking about in the relationship clinic, because how many times have we heard that the representative shows up? Yeah, that scam, and that representative that shows up in the relationship, in the beginning of the relationship, and, you know, pretends like they're one person and they're really another person, and they scamming. From the onset, they are scamming. Well, I tell you, if you leave things in place long enough, meaning if you are friends long enough, you'll kind of see whether, you know, homeboy or homegirl were trying to, you know, was trying to scam you. Surely shall. Yes. You know, you can't pull the wool over somebody's eyes like that in that instance. No. You know, you can't be successful, you know, scamming in life, and, you know, you just gonna live high on the hog. No, you're gonna have to deal with some stuff. You think God is gonna allow you to be scamming folk and he don't deal with you personally? Yeah. You know, so whether it's that, you know, that representative that shows up in the relationship, whether, you know, if it's an intimate relationship, or the representative that shows up even in some friendships, quote unquote, you know, you in it, you know, because they can, you know, put you on, and, you know, they can do more for you than you can for them. And yeah, that's just not a good look. That's not a good look. And God is surely not appreciative of it, and you are not going to get over very long. Nope, nope, nope. All right? So come on, come on, come on. The word for the week is stop scamming. All right. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day rolled around. And we got to talking about the church folk who kind of get appointed or got appointed when they shouldn't have. Yeah, Pastor Kale asked the question, you know, what happens with those people who are appointed to different positions in the church and they really ain't got no business there? How are they there? Why are they there? How long they stay there? And yo, some stuff came out. Yes. You know, sometimes, you know, you gotta appoint people to be there to do the job because they are there. Yes, those loyal individuals, and every time you look up, they there, and they're willing, and they may not necessarily be able, but hey, Somebody got to do it, and I can't do it all, as the pastor says. So you start appointing people. And Pastor Jeff had a testimony or two about having to put some folk up out of positions, up out of the church, you know, when they putting their money up. And you give them some kind of appointment because, you know, they got a dollar or two to help pay the rent and keep the lights on and all that kind of good stuff. Well, it does comes back to bite you sometimes. So you now have a monster in the church that you can't necessarily deal with. And you're going to have to let them kind of marinate in that position for a while till you get up out of there. Oh, yeah, you got to go back and listen. You got to go back and listen to that conversation because it was quite a conversation. All right. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around and our girlfriend Viv gave us that that weed leniency. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, my goodness gracious. They're going to deliver weed. Yes, it's going to, you know, come to a point, or has it already started? I don't know. But you're going to be able to order weed, and they're going to be able to deliver it to you. And, yes, they do have rules, such as you have to be able to verify your age and show your, you know, show that upon delivery. And you can't go to public buildings and schools and churches. And you can only have 25 full-time delivery people at a time. Can you imagine this nonsense? Oh, my. Well, the wow story of the morning was Pastor Jamal Bryant, who's also lenient with the weed in the church. Yes. Yep. For the love of money is the root of all evil, Pastor Jamal is talking about. Bringing the cannabis business to the church. Yes. That's how he's going to, you know, raise money for the church, and that's how he's going to reach the black men of the church and all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, he wants to reach the people that smell like weed. Yes, yes, yes. You know, the church has got to be in the 21st century. You know, and it'll drive membership and teach the people to be entrepreneurs. Oh, yes. And the ladies had their conversation about that and our Faith Over Fear segment about that as well. Yes. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around and we got that conversation about Pastor Jamal. Oh, yes, it was so hot we continued it because we had to include the fact that, you know, Jamal Bryant says that he believes that the responsibility of the church is transformation and that we serve an unconventional God. And if this idea did not work, he would try something else. So, you know, he's got his own agenda going on, as we, you know, assumed. And we continued that conversation. And we also kind of touched on the Dallas. What are we talking about here? The Dallas Southern Pride. Yes. The Dallas Southern Pride. Now, let me, you know, for some of us, you know, we thought that the Southern Pride was, you know, the hospitality, you know, of the South. But we got a rude awakening as the Southern Pride was pride. Yep, the homosexual pride is what we're talking about. And, you know, let me let you in on what that really kind of means. Well, you know, they are an LGBTQ community, and they are raising funds, you know, as they pull out their weekend. Yes, and it's this weekend we're talking about. And they have their big-time holiday weekend coming up where they have this fundraiser with Miss Patti LaBelle. They've got a naughty or nice Christmas party afterwards, and they finish off the weekend with their gospel brunch being hosted by Kelly Price, and the entertainers are Leandria Johnson and Yolanda Adams. And again, you know, the Dallas Southern Pride is the celebration for Black, lesbian, gay, bi, trans, and queer individuals to come together and celebrate who and what they are. And again, they are the ones that are hosting this weekend's festivities. And the question was, should Christian people be a part and headline the activities and the fundraising and the, you know, events of this organization? Well, the answer is no. You know, it was kind of convoluted there for a second. Yeah, we can't. We really have to be very careful of what we support. You cannot, as a Christian individual, and the Bible tells us, you know, what he plans to do with this community, although we may not know the individuals, you know, that how he's going to deal with each individual, but it does tell us how he's going to deal with that community. So if that is a community without any judgment from us, again, we can't say who's, you know, going to make it in the kingdom and who's going to be kept out as individuals. But we do know that God does not care for those, you know, in that activity realm. We cannot, as Christian people, help them raise money to do what? To further the LGBTQ their agenda? Are we helping them raise money to continue to live and to promote this community? Not the Bible that I'm reading. We have no business involved. Plain and simply, no. We cannot straddle the fence. We cannot see it both ways. We cannot live on both sides. You know, this is something that we're going to have to, you know, kind of put in that boat with Pastor Jamal Bryant. If we don't feel that the church should be selling cannabis, then how do we feel we should help that community raise money? Isn't that what Jamal Bryant is doing? He's raising money by selling cannabis. And we flat out said no. So it's got to be the same thing, the concept. It's still the same. Is God pleased with Pastor Jamal Bryant and his venture in cannabis to raise money for the church and help people to become entrepreneurs in this industry of weed selling? Absolutely not. Well, it's the same thing. We cannot help this community raise money that they will further, you know, do what they do. You know, for those of you who did not hear, they say that the Dallas Southern Pride has worked very hard to bridge the gap within the community, that's their community, by ensuring Dallas Black Pride Weekend included the voices and participation of those often talked about but not included, the transgender individuals. It says, we stand on the shoulders of brothers and sisters and transgender individuals who are no longer with us, as well as those who were here in the beginning. Nah. And all of that was read yesterday, so you need to go back and listen, because I can't review it again at the moment, or I'll never finish this, the recap. Yeah, so go back and listen. It was a hot week over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and I advise you to get one wet blanket, because you're going to need it to stay calm throughout the entire week's conversations. All right. So that's how we did it this week. And this morning is Freestyle Friday. And we are just wrapping it up today as we do whatever it is we want to do. Well, talking to the men, hearing from the men is what we do. And we want to make sure that we give God thanks for all that he has done for us during this week. You know, I'll tell you one thing. All week, God has been challenging us to make a decision. Yes, he has. Monday, you were challenged to make a decision twofold. One, are you going to respond to the married life the proper way? Or are you going to scam your way into the relationship, with God? Is that what you're going to do? Here's the challenge. Tuesday, there's the challenge. Are we going to put anybody in God's ministry because we need to pay the bills? Are we going to put anybody in the forefront of God's ministry because they're the only loyal ones that we got around, and, you know, we just going to take that chance? And now you got to put them out. Wednesday, are we going to just say, hey, we got to raise money for the church? And you know what? Since cannabis or prostitution or stripping is the next big thing that's bringing in the money, are we going to put that in the forefront of God's people to teach them how to bring in money for the church and to raise money, period? Are we going to, you know, go for the people that are smelling like weed, that smelling like smoke? You know, those are the ones we're targeting, because that way we can get them to buy the weed and keep our, you know, agenda running. No, we want to take them out of that environment. That's the challenge that we have. Are we helping them, or are we just going to jump on the bandwagon to get their money for our benefit? And when are we going to literally learn to be in this world but not of this world? We are only going to be about God's business. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to push the agenda of people that God does not want us pushing their agenda. He's been challenging us all week to do what we're supposed to do for him. He's challenging us all week to stand on his firm foundation. He's been challenging us all week to pick a side. We cannot straddle the fence, or he will spit us out. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Still a God who is giving us options and saying, listen, do you? I'm not mad at you. I'm just going to let you know that when you decide to go on the other side of the fence, okay, you're going to be on the side of the enemy. You could do you. But guess what? You won't get my blessings continually. You will always be under the rain falling on the just as well as the unjust. Now, if that's a, you know, if that's what you want to choose, then that's on you. Because I'm not twisting any arms. I'm not forcing anybody. I'm going to step back like a gentleman. I've given you this life, and I'm going to let you live this life the way you want to live. and do you? That's been the challenge all week. What side of the fence are you going to be on? Man, if y'all don't see that God is not messing and playing with y'all, yeah, he ain't messing with you if you ain't for him. He's not for you. And I really have that Bible verse sticking in my head that Jesus said, you know what? If you don't stand up for me now while you're in this life, guess what? When it's time for God to start wrapping up this world, I'm not going to stand up for you. Now, I don't know about y'all. I can't afford for the Lord that I'm supposed to be serving to step back on me. Nah, I can't afford for him to step back on me now, because I need this Jesus. I need this Jesus. I have chosen this Lord, and I surely don't want him stepping back when it's time for him to return, and I don't get caught up to meet him in that first resurrection. Because I don't know about y'all, I don't want to be on no line trying to think of what I'm going to say. Because when I sit back now and think about if I had to be on that line, and I'm watching that line get shorter and shorter and closer, I'm becoming, you know, to the first world on that line. Oh, no, I don't want to talk to God at that point. No, thank you. Nah, because I can't even imagine what I would say to him. Nah, I'm not even imagining. What am I going to say to the Lord? What am I going to say to God? And I don't know what to say to God now. And I'm not frantic. And I'm not panicking. And I'm in my right frame of mind. Ain't nowhere in the world you're going to know what to say to God. Because we've already been warned that many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? And he will say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. Now, can you imagine you standing up there giving your best line to the Lord? Oh, you bringing it. And he says, see ya. Nah, that's what the challenge has been about this week. Keep on testing them. Keep on trying them. Because I want to remind you that none of us know when it's going to be our last day. So if that's how you want to spend your life here, testing and challenging God, not knowing when it's going to be your last day and you're not going to have an option any longer? No, because once you dead. God says all your plans are gone. Ain't nowhere in the world you going to be able to talk to the Lord while you laying in your grave, because you going to be asleep. So you know what? Play the game if you want to, but I've already made the decision on what side of the fence I'm going to be on. And after listening to day after day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I've listened to this nonsense all week about what the world is out here handing God, about what the Christian people are supposed to be handing God. Y'all can stand on that line by yourself, because I have no intention on messing with God. I'm not playing with him. I'm not scamming people. I ain't scamming him. I'm not doing nothing but serving God to the best of my ability. If he says, Stephanie, jump off the bridge, which one am I going to get to first? The Thrive's Neck, the Triborough, or the White Stone? Listen, I ain't got no time to be thinking about what I'm going to wear, what kind of shoes. I got to get to that bridge. Because I want to remind each and every one of you, when God requires us to do anything, there's a plan. So all week, he's been testing our gangster. Oh, we all about him? Let me test you. Let me try you. Let me show you which side of the fence you on. Think about that thing. Think about that thing. Today is Friday. We are wrapping it up. Well, guess what? Some people will not make it. They will wrap it up. It will be wrapped up for them today. There will be people who will not go into Saturday, who thought that they were going to be there, and it made plans in the whole nine yards. So come on, people, yes. after I got finished doing this rundown, it showed me more and more and more that God is really separating the wheat from the tare. Yeah. And I know I've chosen to be on the Lord's side. And you can't do that 5, 6, 7 different ways. Nah. You can't be on the Lord's side where you want to be on the Lord's side. You cannot be on the Lord's side the way you want to be on the Lord's side, the way you think being on the Lord's side gets done. You're going to have to do it his way. He's easily saying, listen, it's either my way or the highway. Because when we get on the enemy side, yeah, it's the highway. Because we're going on a trip to nowhere. Oh, did I just say that? A trip to nowhere. Boy, what they going to get tomorrow? They getting everything today. You getting everything today? Well, knowing Pastor Steph, she's always got her ear hearing what the Lord has got to say. And that's the word that I deliver to you Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You don't hear from Stephanie. Nah, I ain't got no time for that. No time. When I ask you a question, it's something that the Lord is asking you. When I deliver something to you, trust me when I tell you, it's the Lord that's delivering it to you. Yeah. So, go ahead. You see what type of tip I'm on this morning? Let's go get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere because we will be right.
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease affects different people differently. First of all, we all deal with tobacco very differently. There's genetics that plays a role in when and if tobacco affects our breathing. Some people are lucky. They have the genetics where tobacco smoke doesn't affect their lungs, but about 15-20% of people who smoke, tobacco smoke affects their lungs. So that's one issue. The other issue is there's some people who their lung disease from tobacco comes a lot sooner, and they could have smoked just a little bit, 10, 15 years and affect problems. Some people, it takes longer. There are certain genetic disorders that produce lung disease from smoking sooner. There's one disease called alpha-1 antitrypsin, which is a deficiency of a certain enzyme that helps protect our lungs. And so if that enzyme is lower, people are going to get COPD much sooner.
know, I'm up here talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. I'm giving up all the good stuff. Listen, listen, listen. I'm going to have to do this again. I'm going to have to do this again. Okay, we're going to do this again. Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Thanks for the heads up that I was speaking to the mute button. I was going all in about, you know, the PSA that just was played. You know, he said something real profound. He said, you know, there are people who smoke and, you know, two people could smoke just the same, but one might get lucky and it doesn't affect their lungs. And I said, you know, aren't we blessed to serve a God that we don't believe in luck, that, you know, our life is, you know, carved out for us? But how many of us, you know, really do like the smokers do and play Russian roulette with our lives? You know, we looking over and somebody that smoked, he said, you know, for a few years, and, you know, they could get COPD, but those who smoke, you know, longer, they may not even get it. And how many of us are looking at life like that? You know, how many people look like they just making it? They could be cutting up in life, and it look like they just getting it on, and it's happening for them. And we looking at God, talking about God, why they, you know, can have a good job and they got money and a good house and, you know, they living it up and I'm doing the same thing, but it ain't working for me. And, you know, this one has been married 40 years and I'm getting a late start. And, you know, why they get to be married and have to fight and I'm over here just trying to make it work. That ain't your life. Same way, he said, two people could do the same thing, and one could come out with one outcome, and one could come out with another. My life is not Pastor KL's life. My life is not Pastor Charlotte's life. Elder Natisha's life is not Shantisha's life. We all have our own individual lives that we live. And God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. Now, are we going to play Russian roulette with this thing? Or are we going to get on the Lord's side and do what we need to do and stop playing around with God? I don't know. Y'all better make up your minds. Because when I heard that there, I was like, wow. Wow. He came right on out and said it. But again, he put it in luck. Well, luck ain't the issue. Luck ain't the issue. So much is given, much is required. Once God gives it to you, you better be on the right path or either you're going to have a price to pay. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Ain't got nothing to do with Stephanie. What are we talking about this morning? Well, we're talking about this KFC customer. And, you know, I'm telling you, the more we live, the more we see the crazies. So, you know, he's placing an order in the drive-thru and finds out that KFC is out of corn. Well, baby, it went downhill from then. A 25-year-old employee went outside, and I don't know what he actually went outside to do, to say, or to get accomplished. But when he went back inside a few minutes later, he told them that the customer had shot him. Yes, Yes. Out in St. Louis, don't mess with their corn because they're going to be real mad. And you got a gun, and you're going to pull out a gun because there's no corn. And you didn't like clearly what the employee had to say. So, you know, it didn't say that the employee had a gun and, you know, this person was fearing for their life or their safety. Nah. Mm-mm. Just the fact that he had a gun, the customer. And like I said, I guess maybe some words were exchanged in the drive-thru. And, you know, he went out maybe to, you know, calm him down or whatever. But it didn't work for him. Didn't work for him. So I say, listen, if you work in the drive-thru, stay behind the glass. Stay behind the glass. Don't try this at home. Stay behind the glass. All right? Let's be smart. Let's be smart. Now, you got this Maryland situation where this 33-year-old Travis supposedly shot his 32-year-old wife. And clearly there was some domestic violence issues going on. And the cops were called to the couple's home to do a welfare check and found that she was shot dead. They have no real explanation as to what ultimately happened. And all they know is she was killed a week before her 33rd birthday. And he's being held without bond. And, you know, three daughters, 11, 9, and 8. And now they don't have a mom. There's no mom because he couldn't handle his temper. Couldn't handle his temper. And that seems to be the theme today, you know, about just kind of keeping your temper intact. You have this New Jersey mom who went to Walmart in Teterboro. And she's 23 years old, and she got caught. She has a little girl with her, and she got caught stealing. And, you know, they were escorting her to the asset protection office, and she put the little girl down on the ground. And when she put her down, she kicked her in the back. And the little girl flew across the floor. Yes, she was so mad about getting arrested that she takes it out on the baby, kicks the baby in front of the authorities. Yes, so she couldn't even say she didn't do it because you have all of these bystanders who actually watched you. And the one of the police officers said he was puzzled because he couldn't believe what he had just watched. So not only, you know, did you steal, but now you didn't kick the little girl in her back so hard, they say she flew across the store. So they took the little girl and gave her to her aunt, who was with the two of them. And they said that the child was just inconsolable, and she wouldn't stop crying after the mother kicked her. So they say that then the mother went into some outrage, punching all kinds of objects around her and telling the aunt to make sure she shut that baby up. So, you know, she tried to grab the baby from the aunt as she was yelling for her to stop the baby from crying. So they said then two other police officers showed up and took her into custody, and I guess they took her down to whatever the precinct is or police department. And They say they do have video surveillance of the incident that was given to the officers. And, you know, so now you go into jail for theft. You go into jail for assault on a little girl. So they say, now that I look at it, they say she's been charged with child abuse, theft, criminal mischief, and assault. So you all out of control. You all out of control. I said, today is we out of control day. Now, we then go into the story of a pregnant woman and her unborn child. So she's 36 weeks old. 36 old. I'm sorry. She's 26 years old, 36 weeks pregnant. And they say that she had just finished with her baby shower. It should this past weekend, Sunday the 11th. She had just had the baby shower. She planned to name the baby her son, Noah. And they end up dead at the hands of her brother, they're believing. Yeah. They say that the two of them live together. Again, a story where they don't have a reason, a definitive reason as to why he killed them, but there's surveillance, you know, if you will. Somebody videotaped him arriving in an alley not too far, like four blocks from where the brother and the sister lived, and he had her in some type of a barrel, and he took her out and set her on fire. Yes. Now, here's the thing. The family has already said that it's hard to get along with him. Yeah. And they don't really know the two of them to have a lot of problems. But based on who he is and what he's done, they're suspecting it's him. Plus, the body that was in the video that was taken. She was in a trash bin. He had killed her. He put her in a trash bin and pushed it to the alley, and then he set her on fire. So now, because they say that the that baby that's inside of her was actually a baby, they're charging him with murder for that baby. And they say that she had been stabbed multiple times, and for some reason or another, they said that she did express that she did fear for her own safety when it came to him, but they still don't know what ultimately it was. So now she has a fear of her safety against her brother, who subsequently they have charged with murder and setting her and the baby on fire. Man, this domestic violence, this being out of control is real. It is really, really, really weird. I got a couple of other stories before I jump on the line with the guys. You have a Massachusetts man who stabs a woman in front of her granddaughter. So he has his estranged girlfriend, and he's 56, she's 48, and they were dating. And, you know, it was ended. And I said the other day when we talked about the young lady who was murdered by her boyfriend, you know, they say the worst time is, you know, when you're separating. And they say that they got a call, 911 got a call about a woman who was bleeding in a driveway out in Brockton, Massachusetts. And when they got there, they said that it was a female on the ground with obvious trauma to her head. She was pronounced dead at the scene. And they say after reviewing the surveillance video and, you know, having interviews with the people around, canvassing the area, they were able to locate the guy in his apartment where they found him with the bloody clothes and the whole nine yards. And she lived on one floor and he lived on another floor. And they had just recently ended the relationship. And he told them that he had ingested battery acid after he committed this crime. So they, you know, they took him to the hospital. He was airlifted to the hospital because, you know, I guess there's some emergency. And he was pronounced dead later that night. And they say that her nephew told the news that, you know, she had just returned home after taking her daughter to work. And when they pulled up in the driveway, this guy assaulted her. And her two-year-old granddaughter was inside the car and saw everything. And again, no known motive other than they had just separated. They had just separated. And, you know, I need to start talking to my guys. I need to start talking to my guys. Let's talk to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you, Pastor KL. I am doing well, thanks. How are you over there?
I'm well. Before you start, you said something that was very profound when you started comparing our lives with each other and saying how one life is not the other. You know, I also want to interject by saying that our life, period, is not our own. You know, it belongs
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
You know, so yeah, my life is not yours. Your life is not mine, but our life does not belong to us either.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I you know, I'm going to second that, you know, as we navigate through this life and we, you know, because we've been given free will, you know, we have this
right.
feeling, like you said, that our lives are our own. Like, there wasn't a price that was paid for this life that we're living, that we're choosing
Amen.
To live honestly. So I really received that this morning. You know, it's something that we need to think about. You know, just because, you know, it's been freely given, it hasn't
mm-hmm.
been freely given. You know, Jesus paid a price so that
we've
could
been
make
bought
the
with a price.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, because we just was left with the Adamic fall. We would have been messed up, Pastor KL, right?
Amen. You're right.
I like that. I like that.
I wasn't trying to get deep. I just wanted to say that.
Well, no, I'm thinking. I thank you for saying that because hopefully, you know, maybe those who are listening will, you know, kind of get that realization.
Right.
You know, going,
right,
whether
right.
it's a reminder or whether it's an introduction. And ain't nobody told them that before. So amen
That's
to
right.
that. Amen to
amen.
That.
Amen.
So Pastor KL, having said that, you know, we've got a whole slew of stories here where everybody's straight out of control. You know, you got the KFC customer who's going through the drive-thru who's angry at the fact that there's no corn. You know, how many times in life, Pastor KL, do we want something and we can't get it? It's not available.
Right.
Oh, it's not available. Oh, it's not available anymore. By the time...
Listen, My mother used to say, you know, when I wanted something and she wouldn't give me it, Mama, I want it. My mother would say, but you're old enough for your wants to hurt you. You're old enough to be able to deal with that. You're old enough for your wants to hurt you. Sometimes your wants will hurt you. You know, and everything you want, it, listen, he said, I'll supply all of your needs. Some of your wants you don't need. You know what I mean? And after I supply all of your needs, and if you live right, then would I give you the desires of your heart.
Right.
You know, so some of the things that we want is not necessarily what we need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so we get to the drive-thru and we don't get what we want. You know, you're going to have to slow down a minute. And I'm talking about the drive-thru of life. You know, when that prayer time and you, you know, going to God for this, you know, want, as you say, and God is, you know, saying, you know, I don't think so, or not right now.
Right.
You know,
a delay is not
a denial. Come on, Pastor KL.
Right.
Give me some of that on this tip right here.
Right, right. You can. You know, your delay is not denial. You know, how many times your parents said maybe, and we understood that your maybe was not a no. You know what I mean? And this is where we go back to saying before, where your life is not your own. And because, you know, you have these tangents, or because you kill folks, now your life definitely ain't your own, because now you have to go into a system where the system is controlling your every move. You know, so had you just allowed God to control your every move, you wouldn't have been caught into the natural system. God was trying to keep you into the spiritual realm, letting you know that, listen, I'll take care of you. You know, saying the battle is not yours. It belongs to me. You know, take your burdens to the altar and leave them there. God gives you all these tips and all these scriptures that you can follow and you can walk with. However, because you get so caught up in self, you get so caught up in pride, you get so caught up in what it's going to make me look like, that we fall.
All right now. Amen. And I want to piggyback on your, you know, the maybe, you know, when your parents said maybe. How many times did we mess up, Pastor KL, when our parents said maybe and we took it as a no? Ooh.
Right. We had attitude.
Ooh. And because we ended up moving wrong after they said maybe and we took it as a no, it just got taken all together. We blew it all together. Now you get nothing.
Right. When you wanted to show out because they said maybe. Can I go somewhere? Maybe. And now you have a chance. Well, now guess what? You ain't going at all. How about you just stay in the house? You ain't going at all.
Yeah.
You're right. We assume the worst all the time.
Right.
When we don't get the definitive answer, we assume that it's going against us.
Right. Or when we don't get the definitive answer, we now start doing things on our own. And now we're trying to make a way to get the stuff done, and we done messed up again because we have not waited on the Lord. And this is so true to life as we've grown up, you know, with you know, making our own decisions, and we just blew it so often. I'm watching people blow this thing, you know, for years I'm watching people just blow these things because they're so patient, because they just can't wait, because they're dealing with the way their finite minds, you know, are looking at it. Instead of just slowing down or just instead of stopping altogether, you know, it could be anything. It just could be anything. Don't buy that car right now.
Right.
And they buy the car, and the car gets repossessed, and now the Lord wasn't looking out for them. Come on, Pastor KL. What are we talking about here?
Well, see, God didn't call you to that car. You know, God didn't say you could have that car. Or how about we shack up and we find ourselves through all this stuff, and now God is not blessing me. And just because I go to church every Sunday and I'm still living the wrong life, that God is supposed to automatically bless me in my mess. And then when the lights go off or when the relationship goes topsy-turvy, now you want to blame God. But you start, anything that begins or is built on a lie has to crumble.
Yep. When it don't start off right, you are jacked up, because in order to gain your momentum, you either going to have to sit still or you're going to have to lose in order to gain later. Because now God's got to clean up stuff, or, you know, now you're going to have to work toward cleaning up some stuff. And, you know, this is drive-through mentality we have. We have this drive-through mentality that we can just pray to God and ask for whatever we want, and God is supposed to supply it when we ask for it. We ain't got no rules or regulations that we got to follow. We don't have to worry about hearing from God. As long as God can hear us and hear what we're asking for, then it's supposed to be on and popping. And God forbid, God says there's no more corn.
Well, let's go even a bit further and look at it naturally. How many times we go through the drive-thru and we make so many requests that we want, and we pay for that which we think that we're asking for, drive all the way home because we never checked it, and it's not in the back? If you go inside and you order your food, you have the opportunity at that point to look in the bag before you even get in your car. But sometimes we assume, just because we ask for something, that is, they're going to get it right. And everybody doesn't get it right the first time. And sometimes you have to come all the way home. That's why the Bible says that sometimes you have to do your first works over. So you come all the way home to realize that it's not in the bag, and you have to go all the way back and plead your case.
There we go. That's starting all over again. Now we got to wait online to tell the server at the counter, this is not what I ordered.
And hope that she's honest enough or she's sympathetic enough to believe me that I did not take it out of my bag and leave it at the house.
Right.
Because some folks would say, why did you go all the way home?
Right. That was a half hour ago.
Right.
You could have eaten what you said wasn't in the bag.
You could have ate about it.
That's right. Man, Pastor KL. All right, we're going to breeze through a couple of other stories. Let's see. Do you want to do the woman who kicks the baby after she gets caught stealing, and now the baby crying has got her in an uproar that she's even grasping for the baby in the aunt's arm, making a bad situation worse? Or do you want to take the
Let's stay there with the kick of the baby. Let's stay there with the football child. Let's stay right there.
Okay.
So here you are embarrassed because you got caught. Because this is your daily job. And a lot of times, because I see this all the time, they bring the kids as an offset. You know, because surely you wouldn't steal with your child there.
Right.
Or you wouldn't steal with the stroller. But I've seen the babies being propped up and the merchandise go under the baby. So here you are. So the child is supposed to have my back. But the child doesn't have, not even knowing that she's supposed to have my back. The child doesn't know that. The child's just going on a trip. You know? And now you're frustrated, and now you, in your mind, you're blaming the child because the child wasn't the decoy that you wanted him or her to be. And now you're so frustrated, you kicked that which you thought was on your side, and now you can't even take the sound of her voice. You want somebody to shut the child up. But this was your plan. You needed the child because in all your other instances, it has worked. Because of the child. But now it did not work this time, so it was the child's fault. Now, understanding that the child don't even know that he or she is a decoy. We just go to the store.
Absolutely. And if I'm only 2 years old, I'm not going to know I'm a part of this plan.
Right.
I'm not going
right.
to know that you relying on me to be the distraction for your, you know, for your shoplifting tour.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you said, how many times has this worked? And now
right.
it ain't worked more. Now that's
right.
why you mad, because you got caught, and now it's your fault because you didn't
sit in the cart right way. Right. When you're at peak, you know, when you first start stealing, you dot every I across every T. Once this thing becomes good to you, you get sloppy. Especially if you're stealing or shoplifting from the same store. Because to you, you think you got the pattern down pat. And then you get sloppy. You know what I mean? A thief has to steal like it's the first time he stole all the time. Because you have everything navigated to the right way. Once you get comfortable that, oh, man, I'm taking this, and now you in the project taking orders. Hey, what you need? I'm going to give me some underwear. What size you wear? You know, now it becomes your business. And you get sloppy because you think that they can't catch me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When you even look at TV, when you look at movies and stuff like that, you know, when they rob in the bank or, you know, there's a heist going on, you know, and they've been doing this for so long. Like you said, they get comfortable and they get sloppy. And now there's your downfall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the cops will say it. We didn't catch them this time. But they're going to get caught because they're going to get sloppy. They're going to get comfortable.
Right, right.
And lo and behold, you know, here you got the cousin or the aunt or whoever the baby's aunt is. You know, you done pulled her in as well. Because now this is your partner in somehow or some way. And now you all twisted because now you being escorted down to this department where you going to be arrested. So now you make a bad situation work because now they got you on child abuse. They got you on recklessness. They got you on this and that. So now you really going to have to face the music. So now you know
right,
what?
Right.
You all twisted. All
and
right,
then when you ask yourself, what did she steal? Was all this worth it? You understand
right.
what I'm saying? Was it a pair of leggings? Was it a bag of chips? What was it that
right.
would make all of this that's now on you worth it? Your bond and your bail cost more than what you stole.
Ain't that something? And you know you ain't going to have the bond or the bail because you didn't have the 50 cent for the bag of chips.
Right.
Now
right,
you
right.
really not going to have the bond or bail. All right, this one last story about the woman who, you know, lived with the brother. They said that, you know, he had issues. He had anger problems and things of that nature. At one point, she did fear for her life. And they don't know what happened, but he ends up stabbing her multiple times, and she's 36 weeks pregnant. And then he puts her in a trash bin and rolls her four blocks over and then sets her on fire. And this is your brother. This is your brother.
Right,
this
right.
ain't no boyfriend. This ain't no stranger. This ain't no somebody who you dated a couple of times. This ain't the baby daddy. This is your brother.
I kind of, for lack of a better term, like the fact that we have in this conversation because it illuminates and it lets folks know that domestic violence is just not boyfriend and girlfriend. It's not
right.
just husband,
right.
husband and wife. You know, and a lot of times when people hear domestic violence, they automatically jump to that coin. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, yeah, it can be your family members. You know what I mean? And as you said, she was already afraid of the brother. So there had to be some kind of history, you know, that the brother was not wrapped too tight. He wasn't playing with a full deck. You know, so at some point, you know, there should have been a order protection. At some point, it should have been something where they couldn't come near each other. You know what I mean? Because he was definitely not wrapped too tight. You know, and he should go under the jail. You know, that double murder, double attempted murder, whatever it is. But he should never see the light again.
Well, he probably won't, because they definitely made the distinction between this being an embryo and the fact that she's 36 weeks when she was murdered. That they, they definitely hitting him with two lives.
Right.
Not
right.
just her
right.
and this unborn child, and they are one. No, they are definitely hitting him with two. There's got to be a lot of hatred in your heart when you
right.
can stab a pregnant woman multiple times that kill her and the unborn child. You know, this here, again,
you know
I've
first of all, just like you said a real mouthful right there. There's got to be a hatred in your heart when you
yep.
can consecutively stab anybody.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? If, yep. if you shoot them and walk away, you know, that's something. But, you know, it takes energy. You,
yep.
you understand what I'm saying? And a mindset to continuously stab somebody
yeah.
until they die.
Yeah. yeah. They always say when it comes to stabbings, they say it's a personal thing. Because,
right.
first of all, close proximity that you have to come, you know, between you and the person. And number two, you know, most times it's not just a one, you know, jab or one stab. It's multiple.
Mm-hmm.
So it really kind of exemplifies what you were feeling, that there had to be some real passion behind what you were doing. This is something personal. And, you know, I when I read this, you know, article, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're just stabbing and stabbing this person, and you didn't have to stab her in the stomach in order for the
right.
baby be, you know, murdered as well. And this is my brother. You know, somebody, they
right.
live together. So, you know, we don't know why, you know, they're still living together as adults. You know, did mom and dad pass away and, you know, both of y'all got the home, or did you need a place, you had a place to stay, and then he needed a place to stay and you let him stay there. You don't know what the situation is, but all you know is his brother and sister are living together, and this is how it tragically ends. And for the family to say, you know, that, you know, the family kind of felt, you know, uneasy around him or unsafe, or, you know, this is bad. This is bad.
Right,
and like you said, you know, you also kind of stepped on, you know, the fact that she was also afraid of him already. What had he done to make her fearful? And again, you know,
right.
I talk about this week, you know, about when, you know, a couple is together, and, you know, the statistics show that the most dangerous time in a domestic issue is when she's just left or when she's trying to leave. So can you imagine this woman living in a house and she's trying to leave?
Mm.
And
mm.
she ain't no choice now. He's overpowered
right,
her.
Right, right.
You know, so there's a lot to be said, you know, for this particular story. And, you know, we just, this whole series is a pray for them issue. You know, out of control, anger, how you let your anger become, you know, so prevalent that you, you know, act on it. So, you know, a lot of things that we're faced with in life. And, you know, just being with family is not always the safest place to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh. All right, Pastor KL, thank you for indulging me on my conversation. Brother Al has joined us, but he came in on the last story, so we couldn't include him on the comments. But, you know, we did the pray for him. You know, you brought to my attention, I hadn't even heard about it, you know, about Twitch, the DJ for Ellen DeGeneres, and you know, you brought up the pray for them, for him, and here we are today. You know, I want to talk about the signs of a depressed man. You know, this woman, you know, she said he left the house without his car. That was unlike him. You know, how many other things had he done that was, quote, unlike him? And, you know, what, you know, you really don't know what to do when you see people changing, because you don't know whether it's just a period of time, you know, that it's going to be and they'll be back to normal. Or is this it? Is this it? So, you know, I want to say, where's my thing here? I want to say good morning to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, good morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. How are you? How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing beautiful. You know, the good Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, get up. And I'm up.
All right.
God,
amen.
Man.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Right. You know, I've been listening, man, and great conversation, first I want to say. And I have to mention something that Pastor Cheryl was saying when you guys were talking about the situation. I came in the middle of it, the situation about somebody wanted something, and then because they didn't get the answer, they did something to somebody. And it's so funny because I remember my mother. You know, when she said it, and I'm going to say just how she said it. I'm like, Ma, I want that. She told me no, right? And, of course, we don't want to hear that answer. No, we want to hear what we want to hear. So I said, Ma, I want that. My mother straight told me, said, well, people in hell want ice water, and they don't get it. And that always
yeah.
stuck with me. I
remember,
always
remember that.
I had to say that one. Yeah, I had to say that one.
I do remember that saying. It was a very popular saying at one point.
Very popular.
Oh, they will tell you that in a minute. People have one ice water now. What would you mean to about it? So.
And the funny thing about it, we were so young, we didn't really know what it means. I didn't think that it's hot down there, so that's why they want water. I'm like, what does she mean?
yeah. You got to think about that thing sometimes when the parents, you know, a lot of times I'll say, you know, go think about it. It's like, I don't want to think about it. Just tell me what you mean. You know, no, you got to go think about that thing. Well, thank you for joining us this morning, Brother Al. You know, we're talking about yesterday's story of suicide by this DJ. And, you know, he did some other things. Very well-loved individual. Always around people. Always, you know, interacting, always a good word that people had to say. And, you know, at one point, you know, there may have been some level of depression that, you know, people were looking at and just didn't even understand that's what was going on. So I want to talk about some of the signs that they say that can indicate that a person is actually in depression. And one of the things they talk about is negative thinking. You know, no matter what you say, you know, you bring up the good things, they always bring up the bad things. They only see the cup as half empty while you're consistently showing that the cup is half full. So, Brother Al, you know, what do you think about, you know, this negative thinking being a sign of depression?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That plays a big part of that, you know. And what's so funny about that is I'm dealing with that with my nephew now. He's been going through so much. And I had to just talk with him. I call him every Saturday and talk with him, because you can talk to him and you can say, hey, how you doing today? Oh, well, you know, I guess I'm making it, you know. Things ain't what it is. I don't care what you say. He's saying something negative. And I think that plays a big, big part, because there's no positive thinking. Everything is negative, negative, negative.
Wow. All right, Pastor KL, you know, that negative thinking, everything you that someone's presenting to you, you know, you always got the negative side to it. You know, what about that being a sign of depression?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, when you have that "woe is me" mentality, you know, no one likes me. You know, I can't get ahead. You know, I mean, especially, you know, on your job situation where it just seems like nothing is going right with your, you know, with you finding a job. I think that's a form of depression. We shut down. You know, men shut down. You know, people don't see it because we mask it well. But men will shut down and just, again, put on the mask to make you believe that everything is all right. But when they start talking, you know, the woe is me stories or, you know, the white man stories or, you know, those kind of things, yeah, they're going to get to heavy depression. They can't find a way out.
Wow, wow. All right, let's talk about that low energy. You know, they say that, you know, depressed men have a very low energy and limited amount of energy for self-care. You know, they're not grooming themselves the same anymore. Everything they do, you know, they're dragging around. You know, normally there's some pep in their step, but now, you know, again, you know, when you watch them, when you talk to them, you know, you have to ask them, yo, you know, you, when was the last time you bathed or you cut your hair or you changed your clothes? Or, you know, they say that's an indication of depression. What do you say, Brother Al?
Yeah. It's just, you know, cause again, everything is so negative, and it's so funny you're talking about this because I really got the depth of it dealing with my nephew. And even if you say, okay, bro, why, you need a haircut. Why you even cut your hair? Oh, it don't make a difference anywhere. I ain't going to meet the right woman. You know, it's just always a negative comment. So you feel that, why am I doing this? It ain't going to change something. You know, the attitude is, okay, I'm doing this for what? It ain't going to change nothing. All right, I clean up my room. Why? I'm still going to be mad at the world. So they feel that nothing is going to change. So why do it? So I'm going to say, yes, definitely that's a sign as well.
All right, all right. Pastor KL, you know, that low energy, that dragging around, you know, the guy that you knew was always moving and shaking and, you know, he always had a plan, and, you know, he always was out grinding, and now, you know, you don't even recognize him anymore because the energy is so low, and not only that, but he'll bring down energy around him.
Yeah, that definitely is it. You know, I remember when, you know, Brother Al was a basketball star, and when he wasn't a basketball star anymore, he started to shut down. I had to say, what's going on, Al?
I can't. I so can't with you. I so can't.
But yeah. When you notice that the drastic lifestyle has changed, yeah, something's going on. That is a form of depression.
All righty, Brother Al. He loses interest. You know, all the things that he used to do. You know, that favorite food he used to eat, or, you know, playing basketball with the fellas, or shooting pool, or, you know, going out, you know, to the club or whatever it was. You know, now he ain't got no interest. He's just sitting in front of the TV playing the games, or sitting in front of the TV and he's looking at the same shows all the time. Nothing is changing. And he's been like this for a minute. He has no interest in anything anymore.
Well, first I would like to say, why are you and Pastor Kel keep bringing up basketball? Y'all want to start some trouble up here? This is what we doing?
Oh, me? Oh, I'm just saying. That's what men do. I don't know.
No, don't worry. I'll take care of Pastor Kel later. We'll talk later. But, it's a beautiful thing on how God put things into play, because this conversation is really helping my nephew, because my nephew has a brand, and everything that we're saying so far is what he's doing. You know, he got interest in nothing. Like, I know that, for perfect example, he loves fixing cars. Like, this young man sleep and eat fixing cars. He don't do it no more, because it's just like, you know, it's just in that down spirit. Like, you know, I don't want to do it. You know, go out and do it. Well, I don't feel like doing it. You know, I probably won't even do it. Then you start making excuses. I probably shouldn't have been fixing cars anyway, you know. And people don't do nothing, but I fix their cars, they get over on me. So why am I fixing cars for anyway? So it's just amazing, and it's helping me, you know, this is helping me to help him. But, yeah, that's definitely a sign. Definitely.
Wow. Pastor KL, you know, there's no interest in doing anything, you know, and now he's a couch potato, and now, you know, the music, you know, he used to listen to music. You could always go over there and y'all talk about the music or church. You know, there's no interest in even going to church or Bible study or anything anymore. You know, what about this being a sign, you know, that he's depressed?
Yeah, that's definitely a sign. You know, again, with whatever your normal is, if you stop doing that or you find him, you know, secluded, you know, getting out the bed, going to the bathroom, and then going back to bed, you know what I'm saying, just with the TV, and the TV's watching you, you're not even paying attention to whatever the program is on. You know what I mean? Your speech or your conversation is all over the place. We talking about basketball, you talking about ballet. You know what I mean? It's just no consistency. Yeah, that's a form, again, that there's something wrong.
All righty. We kind of touched on this, but, you know, touching on it and sticking a pin in it is, you know, is one thing. You know, they talk about that low emotional capacity. You know, them not even being able to express how they feel. You know, when you asking them questions, and I'm sure, you know, with Brother Al talking about this nephew, I'm sure this is one of the conversations that has, you know, that's come up at one point, you know, and, you know, he just has no emotional level except for zero. You know, you can't get them stirred up for anything, no matter what it is. Brother Al, is that what we're talking about as well?
Yes, I would say that to a certain degree. When I speak with him and I ask him, well, what makes you this way? What made you that way? He starts giving excuses. So one of the big things, too, is excuses to feel the way that he feels. You know, like he had a situation with women. Oh, I'm not dating women no more because women such and such, such and such. And I said, well, listen, all women are not bad. You know, and I had to come at him with, okay, I tell you what. Have you ever sat back and thought, what are you doing to attract these type of women? And he just got quiet because he didn't think about that. He just went on emotions on, I went through this. So you know what? I'm always going through this. I'm not dating women no more. Women are stupid, blah, 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 blah. You know, when you get to the point of asking why you feel this way, just past the women, why you feel like you don't want to work on cars no more? You've been working on cars. He's 31 now, I think, 30 or 31. I said, you've been working on cars since you was about 17. That's all. You knew cars back and forth. Why you don't want to do it no more? And his answer is, I don't know. I don't even really know. You know, so I would say yes to that, too.
Wow. Pastor KL, that low emotional level, you can't get them even to a level two, you know, you're joking with them and, you know, you want to look at a comedy or you're telling them a funny story and it ain't happening.
Oh, there I am. Yeah, that's definitely another sign. You know, you just try to get them out the house. You just, you know, try to have, you know, funny time with them, fun time with them. Or you try to go down memory lane where, remember when we used to, remember when you did this, remember when you had the lampshade on your head, you know what I mean? And you're just not getting anything out of them. You know, they're not reminiscing with you. They don't even want to go that far back. You know, that's definitely a sign.
Absolutely. We're coming up to that self-medicating, whether it's drugs, whether it's, you know, alcohol, you know, that's what they're doing now to try to get and keep away from facing what they're, you know, what the pain is or what anxiety they're going through. Brother Al.
Yeah, that's definitely a sign. One thing I can, oh man, I thank God all the time. He hasn't turned to that yet, and I hope he don't. So a lot of times they turn to the drug and alcohol, and I've spoken to someone about that. I was like, well, why do you do that? Or it makes me forget the pain or what I'm going through. It makes me forget it. And I said, well, you do know that that's temporary. And they know that it's temporary. So being that it's temporary, they continue to keep taking it. But, you know, it's a blessing that my nephew hasn't went that route. You know, I talked with his mother, and he hasn't went that route. So I'm on his back to try to keep him from going to that route. But that's definitely
all right.
A sign.
All righty. Pastor KL, that's self-medicating. And that self-medicating could even be sex, you know, just, or porn or, you know, whatever. What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Usually at that point, they find some type of addiction to keep their mind off of what the real issue is. You know, and sometimes when you're depressed, you know, you want to feel needed, you know, so you will have, you know, all these excursions with all these women because you think at some point these women like you, you know what I mean? You go to drugs or you go to alcohol so that you can forget and you can numb the situation, you know, because that's what the alcohol does. It numbs you from the situation, from thinking about the situation. So, yeah, we pick a lot of stuff, you know, so that we can get our mind off of the real issue.
Yeah, and it doesn't go anywhere because when you finish drinking and drugging and all of the sex or whatever.
Sober, it's still there.
That's right. It is still there. Hasn't gone anywhere. So now you've spent the time to do all of this, and now you're going to drink more or you're going to use more drugs or you're going to, you know, dive into this world trying to get rid of it even more, and you're going to become deeper addicted to these things. So, yeah, this is unfortunately a downhill battle, especially in that area. You know, Brother Al has said, you know, hey, you know, I'm dealing with my nephew and trying to get him to come around. They are offering some suggestions as to how we can help, and they say, you know, ask how you can help them. And Brother Al, when you've asked how can you help, how has that gone?
That you know, actually, he was so deep in, I didn't ask him. What I did was I asked God, how can I help him? Show me what to do to help him, because everybody turned their back. My sister, she's fed up. You know, she's stressed out. His father don't call him. You know, he even irritated my brother. But my brother's like, yo, I don't want to call him because when I call him, I'm going to hit negative. So it's like his brother, who he looked up to, Ben turned his back on. So it was like he was just alone. And I'm like, you know what? This is my family. So I really didn't ask. I think that is a good job. But I think when you ask, because they don't feel that nothing's wrong, they're going to say nothing most of the time. So what I did, I went to God and I asked God to show me how to help him. Remove me from self and you get involved. Because when we go into self, you know, we speak it from our, we hear something and you're not understanding. Oh, well, that's dumb. But you know what? That might be dumb to you, but not him. So that's what helped me help him.
All right. Pastor KL, you know we can pray for individuals. We know that God always has the answer. You know, when I look at this particular suggestion, one of the things that comes to my mind is that gets a person, that stimulates them to start talking. That stimulates them to start thinking. So even when we pray, if we do bypass this for some reason, whether you know, we don't think to do it or whatever have you, we need to get them to talking. And, you know, this can definitely help even in our prayer time. because when you dialogue with them, you have that extra stuff to take to God. You know, they don't even know about prayer. They're not thinking about prayer possibly. But now when you hear what they're saying, now when you go to God, it's kind of that extra that you can actually add on to, you know, into your prayer.
And you know, Pastor Steph, if I can add on to a part of that, like you said, they don't know prayer. Like my nephew, he didn't know prayer, you know.
Right.
And when we finished our conversation, I said, "Do you mind if we pray together?" And he said, "Okay."
Right.
And I said, "Well, how do you feel?" He said, "I feel pretty good." And one of the things when people understand, again, us as Christians, we have to show the God in us. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember he called me. He was talking, "How you doing?" And he's getting better. I'll call him on the phone, and I'll say, "Hey, how you doing today?" And he'd be like, "I'm doing okay." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, no, I'm doing good, Uncle. Everything is good." I said, "That's what I want to hear." And he called me and he said, "Uncle, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Sure, I thought you could ask me anything." He said, "I know that you seem so much more happier, and I see that you're getting ready to get married. You're 56 years old. What made you wait so long?" And so I said, "I didn't wait so long. I said it was on God time." I said, "See, God," and then, you know, that gave me the foot in the door to speak about God. I said, "This is how God works. He do it in his time, not in your time." I said, "When you wait on him, everything goes well. It goes really well." And I said, so I didn't stress it. I waited on him. I said, just like you, once you get out this negative, I said, God going to continue to bless you. I said, because he had a problem with his sight. His he had to have a surgery, a major surgery. His surgery was $500,000. He didn't know
wow.
where he was going to get the money from. His mother didn't know where she was going to get the money from. And boom, I prayed and prayed. And his mother called me. There was a program that came in. And he qualified for the program. They paid the whole thing. He didn't have to pay one dime. So what
wow.
I explained to him, I said, "You see how God works?" I said, "Now let me tell you the downside to that." I said, "The downside is that God has blessed you to do this." I said, "I remember, there's more people out there that problem is worse than yours and could not get that grant. God blessed you to get that grant." And I said, "What's happening? You being negative, you complaining." I said, "So God is not going to bless you no more." I said, "Just like now." I said, "You give me $20. I said, "I'm going to give it back to you, and I don't give it back to you." I said, "You going to give me $20 again?" He was like, "No." I said, "Same thing with God. He's blessing you, and you're not showing gratitude." He was like,
"Amen.
Oh, you know, you're right. And so he's starting to come around. So I pray all the time that God just continue to guide me to, again, when I talk to him, get out of self and guide me on what to say and how to say. And it's, let me tell you, it's been a blessing. He's really coming around, and I thank God for that. I talk to him every Saturday for between 2 and 3 hours every Saturday.
Wow, amen, 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 Brother Al. Thank you for that testimony. Thank you. Pastor KL, you know, again, what are we talking about when we, you know, literally ask them, you know, that question of how can I help you? You know, how important is that to their recovery or to now them being built up to where they used to be and then passing, you know, surpassing that level?
Well, first I want to say that the doors of the church is open. Come by letter, you know, because Brother Al just preached.
Can
we
and you,
said
I can't
word.
I can't stand you.
But I believe I want to say that it was Shantice a couple of months ago, and she was talking about triggers. And I think when you go to someone, you know, it will trigger them. You know, sometimes people are so depressed or so far off that they have swept this thing under the rug and forgot about it. They're just living in this off. You know, but when you start asking questions, it makes it seem or it makes people believe that, wow, you really care about me. You really
right.
see what's going on in me. Somebody else is taking notice to the things that I'm trying to forget. So maybe this is an out for me to have a conversation with you since you've already recognized that there's something different, you've already recognized that there's an issue, you've taken notice, and you are generally concerned about what I'm going through. And that within itself sometimes can illuminate you to want to come out of this thing. Well, maybe if he sees it, maybe if she sees it, maybe there is a way out of this thing. You know, sometimes, again, we sweep this thing under the rug and we think, can't nobody see what we're going through? Woe is me. I'm the only one in the dark. You know what I mean? So sometimes when you just shed light to this thing, you know, and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel as you speak, it makes you even want to speak even more and come out of this thing.
Amen. Amen, gentlemen. Amen. I actually didn't realize how late in the hour it is. We still have some other things that, you know, that are on this list that I would love to bring out. So God spares, we're going to continue this conversation next week. Brother Al, what is the name of your nephew?
His name is John.
Okay. So we're going to take this moment right now to lift up John and those like John and those who have reached, you know, the line of where Twitch went with his life. And we're going to take this moment to actually pray for them. We're going to do a little pray for them today. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We thank you so much for always giving us an opportunity to come to you, God, to, you know, bring to you what our sorrows are, our concerns are, God, and, you know, with all that's happening in these lives, dear Heavenly Father, you know, you turned on the switch today for us to pray for men like Twitch, men like John, dear Heavenly Father, and any other man that anyone is who's listening knows of. And right now, God, we're going to open up that door for them to insert that name and call out that name now while I pray, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thanking you. We're thanking you for another opportunity to speak to you on their behalf, God. You know, we think that, you know, the church of the doors are open and, you know, we come by letter and we just walk up in the, you know, the four walls of the church and that's where it ends, God. But we have so many men who are crying out to us, God, so many men who need you, dear Heavenly Father. You have introduced yourself to us in a special way, and your word is to go out and disciple and to help those who are aching, God. Go out into this dying world, dear Heavenly Father, and introduce Jesus and you to every person out here, God, even if they've heard your name, God. It's so convoluted now. You know, it's so challenging now. Everybody's in this questioning mode. And, Lord, we're here to shine a light and to testify and to witness as to how great you are, dear Heavenly Father, how you have brought us from a mighty long way, God, how you have turned it around for us, God, how you have brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light, God, and we lift John before you, dear Heavenly Father. And, Lord, we know he's not where he needs to be, despite the fact that Brother Al says there's some improvement, God. We don't want some improvement, God. We want to turn this whole thing around, God. We want you to show him a different way, God. We want you, your light, to illuminate in front of him, God. We want you to be displayed in front of John like you've never been displayed before, God. And that you would give Al just an extra extra dose of patience, extra words to say, God, ways to encourage John, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, a scripture that would change John's life, God, a word of prayer that would give him more hope and understanding and to build his faith, dear Heavenly Father. We're asking you to step in right now. Right now, God, we had no idea, none of us had no idea that this topic would come up today. But, Lord, look what you did. You're talking to John. You're talking about John. You're talking to anyone else that's on this broadcast who's listening, and they have a friend or a family member, a coworker, or a fellow student, somebody, God, that they know that is suffering, that's hurting, that's in some level of anxiety and pain, God. And we don't want to see another man lose his life, God. You know, this Twitch left here, three children, dear Heavenly Father, three children he left here without a dad now. However, it got so low that the children didn't even matter, God. And, Lord, we declare that there's no more of this going on, not if and when we can help it, God. That even if we didn't know what to say or do, God, we would seek you first. We would seek you first, God. And as it says, you know, we got to talk to them. Talk to them, God. Because Pastor Kale's right, it stimulates something. It stimulates a thought. It stimulates them to start talking. And, you know, sometimes we got to hear ourselves. Because it's always inward. We don't hear what's going on. But God, we're being introduced to some new stuff today, and we say thank you, God. And even though we're not finished with the list, and we know there's places to go, we say thank you, because this here is enough to get the job started, to get the ball rolling, God. We thank you for talking to us today. We thank you for presenting something new or reminding us about something today, God. We know, God, that you have the answer to every life that is here, every life that's breathing, that you didn't forget about any of us, God, that even though the family may have become, you know, distant and, you know, they don't, you know, they may feel powerless and, you know, they don't want to be brought down by the depression, God, there's always you. There's always you. And we thank you. We thank you that you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, God. That we are not going to stop until men like John are in a different frame of mind, that they are now submitting and surrendering their life to you. We declare right now that John has healing, and he understands that there's healing, that there's a balm in Gilead. Oh, that there's a balm in Gilead just for him, just for him. It doesn't matter who else is standing at that balm. It doesn't matter how many people have not been introduced to the balm yet, but there's healing there for him. So, Lord, as we call out his name, we pray that, you know, you begin to deal with him, that he begins to feel just a little bit different. He may not even know where it's coming from. He doesn't know that people are calling out his name and people care despite the fact that we haven't met him. But we love him because he belongs to you, and we don't want to see anything happen to him, God. And anyone again like him. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you and we love you for listening to us and hearing our cry just one more time. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. We thank you, gentlemen, for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day. You know, please continue to pray for John and others like him. And, you know, again, what about our children? You know, I don't know if he has any children or not. But, you know, we just say, you know, God, thank you. Thank you for this life. You know, and if he can talk to children, you know, once he's healed. Because children are committing suicide. Children are depressed as well. And they need to see that someone else has made it. It's not good enough to stand up in church talking about he brought me from a mighty long way. Nah, that's not good enough. We need to be able to tell the story. Everybody want to be so tight-lipped and, you know, they don't want to say what's going on. But that's what's going to help to heal the world. Us opening up our mouths, us being transparent, us letting people know that, you know, this is where I was. You know, I remember very private person. I didn't tell none of my business. Remember I told you at 16, 17 years old, I was going through all of that abuse. And I said nothing. And, you know, you kind of develop that as a lifestyle. And the thing about it is you don't realize, you know, God has not just a plan for your life and how you can help someone else, but how someone else can bless you. And that's been their assignment. And I was very private until nothing. And, you know, God started having me reveal some real private stuff. And I was like, yo, really? Now these people gonna know this about me, and you know, I'm gonna be embarrassed, and you know, now I didn't tell my business, and how do I look, and you know, how do I look to my children? And I remember several times being told, you know, this is what I've assigned for your life. People are going to be changed because of your experience. But they can't be changed because of your experience, because they don't know what I've done in your life. You've got to tell what I've done in your life so that I can change these people because they see what I've done for you. And one thing about, you know, I remember my grandmother used to say, you know, me, she said, ooh. She said, you won't ever have to worry about, you know, Stephanie and so-and-so, because they tell it all. There's no shame. It took me a long time to get like that, to understand, you know, to tell the struggles that, you know, I had gone through, and just life that had hit me. Some from decision making, some from lack of. And he turned it up when he gave me this ministry. And when he put me at the helm of his ministry, he really, really, really instilled it in me. I need you to talk. And I was like, yo. I used to always say, you know, how do I look? I look like a fool. I look like a this. I look like a that. And he had to keep reminding me. And every once in a while, he still does, because there's something else I got to tell. And I'm like, that too? Yeah, that too. You know, when we speak to, you know, the person who's depressed and we ask them, you know, what's going on? Is there something I could do for you? That's also indicating that you're willing to help. You're not just willing to talk. You know, because there's just talk. You know, you know, just chatting with them and, you know, not making, you know, light of that, but just chatting with them, you know, is a big step, because like Brother Al said, there's others that just, they're not there anymore. For whatever the reason is, no judgment. They're just not there anymore. But when you start asking them, you know, yo, you know, what is it that I can do? Can I, you know, do this, can I do that, or, you know, what is it that you think would help you if you had that help? That opens up a whole new door that lets people see that you're in it. You're not just going to talk about it, but you're going to be about it. What can I do, since, I mean, that's huge. can I do for you that would help you? Because now, let me tell you something. See how Brother Al said, you know, other people have become disenchanted. Don't think he hasn't sensed that. He knows others have become disenchanted, and some he may understand and some he may not understand. Some he may say, you know, well, it's okay, and others he may not be at that level anymore, that it's okay. You know, he's really upset about that thing. But when you step in and you ask, see, you're different because you're bringing God into the equation. You're going to be able to give that godly answer. You're going to be able to give that godly counsel. Counsel that those others who are no longer talking may not be able to give him or her. And think about it. Has God silenced them so that you can speak? Because if I got 9 different people saying the same thing to me, and I got 9 different options, am I really going to choose the right one? But when God has silenced everything and everybody else but you, it just might be you that God has chosen to make the difference in that life. So, you know, that's why I say we can't look at people and criticize, because we don't know God. I remember when my mother, the last day my mother was here, and the doctor said, you know, she's going. My sister called me to tell me she's going, and I'm in Queens. It's like I'm on my way there. You know, God is amazing because he said to me, he said, I cleared the way for you to go. And that's why we have to always be mindful of what God could possibly be doing while we're all twisted and upset that mama ain't doing her job, daddy ain't doing her job. So, nah, has God chosen you to be in that John or that Joanne's life? So stay before the Lord. Always be prepared. Always listen for what it is that you can do and make sure you are doing what God has for you to do. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my guys, God's guys, for just ushering us into a thought-provoking weekend. We thank you for hanging out with us all week and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to, you know, just join this fold. Give Jesus your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to increase and strengthen that relationship with the Lord, because later is not promised to any of us. Until Sunday, God spares, at 9 o'clock, where it's the Word Prayer Project. Come on in the room and join us. Let's see what God has us to pray for this weekend. Until then, I love you.